Happy Valentine's Day, honey.
You got me jewelry.
Go ahead, open the box.
Oh, it's so beautiful. Wait, you got me that stupid Jane Seymour heart necklace? Yeah, way to go, Romeo.
What?
You really put a lot of thought into it this year, huh? You see one stupid commercial while watching your stupid game and off you go to the mall? What'd that take, 10 whole minutes?
You don't like it?
No, I don't like it. Look at it. You expect me to wear this? Why would you want me to put this on? Now I get it. You secretly want to sleep with Jane Seymour. Is that it?
No, of course not. Hey, what are you doing? Don't throw that at me. Ow! Oh, I think I'm bleeding.
Oh, poor thing. Then why don't you go see Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman, you jerk?
A recent study found 40% of U.S. workers have dated an office colleague, and 31% of them went on to get married. 18% say they have dated a coworker twice or more, while 10% work with someone they would like to date. But 100% say they would rather date their old, fat, balding, halitosis breath boss than have to listen to...
For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to LA Talk Radio. Your real talk station. Your real 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
Disney puts on a magical parade of layoffs. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Officials at the Walt Disney Company, led by Mickey Mouse himself, marched over 1,000 employees out of their offices today as part of a gala post-employment spectacle. At the parade's end, in the main parking area, workers were treated to a colorful blizzard of pink slips, officially terminating their jobs with the vast multimedia entertainment company, Disney Human Resources Manager Doug Barstow.
We made sure that every employee was given a 2 weeks' pay and a handful of severance dust.
This follows on the heels of last year's controversial firing of scores of Disney mascots who were let go with only a 6 week supply of mascot chow to hold them over. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Bacon-Eating Fool.
Mr. Bacon-Eating Fool.
Some say it's just for breakfast. Oh, no, no, no. You know that any time is the right time to fry, microwave, or throw a heaping helping in the oven. Oh, connoisseur of sliced swine.
Cure that hunger with pure pork belly.
That's not bacon. It's bacon on bacon.
And it needs...
So the next time you crave a porcine plate full of bacon brittle, a bacon-wrapped filet, bacon-covered pizza, chocolate-covered bacon, or a bucket of bacon bits, we'll tip our pork pie hat to you, Mr. Bacon-Eating Fool, a real American hero.
Mr. Bacon-Eating Fool.
You don't just eat bacon. You let it melt in your mouth like meaty candy.
From high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday, Susie.
Whoa.
It's February 12 already.
Oh, my God.
You believe it?
No, I don't.
It was just New Year's yesterday, it seems.
Oh, my God. That was so far away. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
I was in Australia on New Year's.
Yeah, you were an entirely new world.
Oh, that's for sure. Holy shit.
Yeah, so we've got a great show today. We've got an awesome book that I started reading, and this thing is awesome.
Do you ever finish reading anything? You always say you started reading it, but you never finish anything.
No, I don't, but at least you get the idea, you know. No, but this one I'm definitely going to keep reading because it's awesome. It's called The Secret Code of Success.
I'll believe it when I get my book report.
Yeah, okay. So you were almost late this morning, but you always make it right on time.
I have to
give it to you.
Thank you. I was here like 2 minutes early.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, no time for the morning cigarette. Obviously.
No, definitely not
so
today.
So we'll take a break.
We ready for a break yet?
Yeah. And then we got a special guest. Her name is Monroe King. And I think
that's
you'll
a cool
find
name.
Her. Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like a movie star.
She comes from a lot of money.
Wow.
Yeah. King I think it's King World Productions or something.
Okay.
Her father owns that or All right. owned it. I don't think he's alive anymore. But, you know, this is a lot of great stories, I think. Yeah.
Excellent, excellent. You know, I look forward to it.
So that'll be cool.
Oh,
and she's
goodness.
Got a huge following on Facebook and stuff, too. So she created a whole event on being on Sam and Susie in the Morning. But
really?
She spelled it S-U-S-I-E.
Oh, that's all right.
So I hope people will find it.
You know what? The Starbucks guy this morning spelled my name S-U-S-I-E, too.
Yeah. That's a more common spelling, right?
Yeah, actually, I don't know. I don't know why. Like, I don't really get pissed off about it, but like, I don't know, the Starbucks guy the other day spelled my name correctly, and I was like, dude, I was like, that's really cool. You're getting a $5 tip.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I guess the difference is between a Susan and a Suzanne, right?
Or Susie's a Sussy, probably, S-U-S-I-E, Sussy.
No, but I think Susie is for Susan, not for Suzanne. And that's why yours has a Z in it, because your full name has a Z in it, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Makes sense.
My godfather owns a luggage company in Philadelphia, and every year, like for my birthday or for Christmas or whatever, I get a different like monogrammed bag. Uh-huh. He has spelled my name in more ways than is humanly possible, except the correct way.
Really?
I've got like 200 luggage bags that are all spelled like with my name incorrectly. I'm like, what the fuck? Like if I ever carry like all the bags on an airplane, people are just like, really?
Yeah.
They see my name like...
And this is who? Your grandfather?
My godfather.
Oh, your godfather.
My godfather.
You'd think he'd know by
you
now.
You would think.
Huh?
And I've corrected him on it like a gazillion times, but yeah. Whatever. What are you going to do? Yeah. Oh, man.
So what happened with the Mormon friend later after the show? Did he comment?
Oh, after calling into the show yesterday? Yeah. Well, he did more than comment. He called while I was in the midst of my tax hell.
Oh, you were doing your taxes yesterday?
Yes, yes.
Oh,
well,
nice.
I tried. I decided, I was like, you know what? I'm an adult. I am a grown human being. I can freaking take care of this shit by myself.
So you fired up TurboTax?
Fired up TurboTax, and I started rolling around with the TurboTax.
Uh-huh.
But apparently I only made $1,400 last year.
Sounds reasonable.
And that money was for my catering company, so the only...
Okay, stop talking about your money on the air, okay?
No, it's funny. This is funny. I don't care.
You don't? Okay.
It's really funny because it was for my catering company, I'm working for them as an independent contractor, and they don't take any taxes out. So now I owe the fucking government a shitload of money.
Yeah, you do.
And I'm like, this is bullshit. I was like, I'm poor and I'm a student. I was like, I'm not not filing.
You may not have to pay. I mean, look, you've got expenses and shit that you've got to put in as well.
Well, I did. I pushed like the... you know, estimate my expenses.
Right.
And I still ended up owing like $200 with federal. And then I got drunk and I don't remember if I did state or not.
Yeah.
But
it'll be a lot less if you owe, if you owe $200 to the federal, you probably owe nothing to the state.
Well, then Tom, my Mormon friend called.
$200 is nothing, Susie.
I don't have, my checking account is at zero right now.
Yeah, no, I know.
I got my low
account. Well, you've got till April 15th. You still have a couple months.
I'm fucking skipping the country. I'm not paying taxes. Oh, my God. But, yeah, so then my Mormon friend Tom called, and he's like, what are you doing? And I was like, my taxes? I was like, this is so miserable. And he's like, he's like, I used to do taxes for low-income people.
Really?
And I was like, really? I was like, why don't you pick up 3 bottles of wine and come over? And he was like, I could do that. And I was like, excellent.
Yeah.
And I was like, and if you're at the store, pick up some salmon and broccoli and quinoa, and I'll cook you dinner.
Yeah. Sounds good. So did you manage to finish it?
You know, I don't remember.
How many bottles of wine was that?
3.
3.
But I was also all cracked out of my Adderall, too. So
did you get them all drunk, too?
Well, I tried.
You're really influencing this guy.
He actually almost came into the radio station with me today because we were a little late leaving the house this morning. And then I drove up to Starbucks and I had to turn around and drive him back. And then he already like emailed his boss and was like, I'm going to be 2 hours late this morning.
Yeah.
And I was like, I feel so badly like making you be late for work.
Yeah.
But, and I was like, why don't you just not go? You know, you already emailed and said you're going to be late. They're going to, like, think something's wrong. And, you know, instead of being like, oh, I spent the night with this chick. you could be like, oh, she cooked me dinner and I got explosive diarrhea.
Oh, so he stayed overnight?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I'm not going to ask what happened.
Nothing happened.
Okay.
Last night. I'm just kidding.
Only with you. A guy can come over and you'll do nothing with him. Or at least according to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then guys are probably so frustrated. Seemed like she wanted to.
Oh my God. I don't know. I could seriously talk like forever. Yeah. Like I just freaking like ran my little mouth off last night to this poor guy. He's like sitting there with his eyes like wide open, like, who is this chick? Like she's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
And then
who the fuck are you gonna talk to in Australia? To the fucking koalas?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's gonna be there to listen to you.
I don't care, I'll talk to myself. I'll be journaling. I'll put all my thoughts out on paper.
Yeah, so you leaving tomorrow night?
No.
What do you mean no?
No, I'm leaving a week from tomorrow.
Oh, a week from tomorrow.
Hopefully.
Okay, you see, I'm always the last to know.
Well, I still don't know.
So we'll all just halt our lives and wait for Susie to make up her fucking mind.
No, it's but not up to me.
Okay, so it's next week for sure.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. What?
No, I mean, you gotta know by this point.
Well, I don't know.
You know, you're moving to another fucking country, Susie.
I know, man. I'm living on the fucking edge.
You really
this
are.
This is pretty crazy.
It is.
I know.
I mean, you've given up on selling your car. You're taking it with you. Is that car paid off?
Hell no.
You can't take it then.
Why not?
The bank's not gonna let you. The bank owns the fucking car.
I'm not gonna fucking tell the bank.
Well, then that... That I wouldn't mess with that, Susie.
Wait, I can't take my car if I don't have it paid off?
No.
Why would they care if I bring it to another country or not?
Because, I mean, they have no... They can't recover it if they wanted to.
Even better, then I don't have to pay the bills.
I wonder if they'll even let you take it out of the country if you can't show a pink slip.
What's a pink slip?
That's like... That, that shows that you own the car.
Does that mean you were fired?
No, that's... That shows that you own the car.
Oh, no.
Yes.
This could be disastrous.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm serious, Susie.
Are you fucking
you
kidding?
You don't own the... Okay, you want to know who owns the car?
The bank.
Try not to make a couple of payments and see who owns the fucking car. You know?
Well, I did that once upon a time.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying
they
to
didn't
you.
Like it very much. Yes.
Well, you do not own the car.
They got mad at me and said they wouldn't do automatic... debits for my account anymore and that I had to pay with the cashier's check for 6 months.
Wow.
Because yeah, I kept bouncing the check to
but
them.
But you know what? I'm willing to bet that this would constitute theft.
No way.
It would.
How
Susie,
would they,
you'd be breaking some kind of a fucking law.
And how would I'm they even you, know if I had it out of the country so long as I paid every month?
Look, the thing is this. Why would they let you take a car out of here if you can't prove it's yours? You know, I mean, it's a car. It's not like you're carrying a fucking suitcase with you.
I have the keys.
That's great proof.
My name's on the registration.
Yeah.
So that's proof.
So it's registered to you. It doesn't mean you own it. Yeah.
You motherfucker.
Why? I mean, I'm just telling you the reality. I'm not trying to...
You're ruining my fun.
No, because you're making fucking naive plans, Susie. You haven't researched this.
No, I haven't.
Okay, so you know what? Be safe. Call the bank. Ask them.
No, because what if they say, no, I can't take it?
Then you don't fucking take it.
No, you know what I'll do? Yeah. I'll call the shipping company and ask what kind of proof they need to get the car on the freaking boat. Right?
Well, yeah. I'm willing to bet you. They're not going to do it.
You want
to
make another bet with me, Sam?
Yes.
Do you really want to make
another
bet?
This time I do.
Do you really want to make another bet with me?
This time I know I'm more right than you are.
Really? Okay, what are we going to bet? I want a full fucking Swedish massage. I don't want the Thai cheap massage that you already owe me. I want a full fucking Swedish massage.
Okay, I'm going to send you down here. I'll pay the $50 and you can get it.
50?
I'm not good at massage.
No, I don't want one from
you.
Yeah,
they have the Thai massages here.
I don't want it from you.
Oh, okay, good. Then we're safe.
Your wife will come after me and try and like slit my throat.
No, it's just a massage.
A sensual massage?
Yeah. But listen, they have $29 ones.
Why don't you pay for St. Louis Steve to come out here and give me my sensual massage?
Yeah, that'll be really cheap.
No, but the way travel is these days, travel is actually getting very, very cheap.
They've got some cool spas around here.
Oh, trust me, I know.
You know.
Oh, trust me, I know.
Yeah.
Yes.
We went to one for my birthday last year to this really fancy hotel on Sunset. I can't even remember the name.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got like this beautiful view from the pool and stuff. But we went, my wife treated me to a spa.
Ooh,
I mean,
nice.
That thing must have cost like 500 fucking bucks for an hour.
Oh, yeah.
For both of us, you know? But let me tell you, that was some like aromatherapy massage.
Mm.
I found that I was like probably in a different consciousness. Totally. It was probably like something when you're hypnotized or something. That's, I mean, I didn't even know what the hell was going on, so I didn't really enjoy the massage that much. but it was the greatest feeling. I was so fucking relaxed when I got up.
My sister and I, for my birthday a few years ago, Michael gave me, this was probably like 5 years ago, he gave me a gift certificate to go to this spa called Canyon Ranch. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I never like used it for a long time. And then all of a sudden, he's like, are you ever going to use that, like, you know, all expense paid trip to a spa for a week?
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, I guess I'll use it. So a couple years ago, my sister,
I guess I'll use it.
Well, but so he's like, well, you have to bring a friend. And I was like, all right, I'll bring, he's like, why don't you bring your sister? And this is when my sister and I like weren't really friends, because we weren't really friends our whole life.
Really?
And I was like, all right. So fuck people when they say money can't buy love. Mm-hmm. Money bought my sisters and my love for each other. We went to that spa. We spent $17,000 in 4 days.
Wow.
And we had an amazing time at that spa.
Sure.
And we became best friends after that.
Really?
So whenever people say, like, my family now still attributes, like, Michael to, like, having, you know, fostered this relationship between my sister and me. And it's like, fuck it, money can buy love.
So it's never too late, though. I mean, you're saying to me here that siblings cannot get along, but then later on in life, find each other.
Yep.
Wow.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
I know. Oh my goodness.
Really? So you never really got along?
Never.
Both of you? You weren't like friends and stuff?
Well, she's...
What's the age difference?
2 years older than me.
Oh, 2 years. Mm. Yeah, you guys should have been close.
I know, but like, for some reason, like, she thinks I'm really gross.
She still does?
She thinks I'm a disgusting human being. Like, well, now she's used to my grossness. Right. But like, I'll spit like 10 feet like across the room, or like out the window. Do. Or I'll burp after like I've sucked down a bottle of wine or beer. Or I'll pick my nose in front of her. You know, I'm just, I don't know, I'm just myself. I don't give a fuck.
No, that's disgusting, Susie.
And also, whenever we would travel together in the past, you know, whatever. If you've got like a Coke bugger or something, you want to get that shit out. But so, whenever we
That's a big problem.
Whenever we go.
Coke booger.
That's like $10. I'm totally just kidding to all the listeners out there. It was a big joke. But we'll go traveling like with on family vacations and stuff, and I wouldn't even bring my toothbrush, and so I would like grab her toothbrush and freaking use it, and then she'd go to use her toothbrush and it would be all wet, and she's like, Susie, she's like, did you use my toothbrush? And I'm like, yeah, I forgot mine. Like, I don't care. Yeah. And she would lose it and just totally freak out and be like, you are so disgusting, and throw her toothbrush out and throw a fit.
Yeah.
And then I'll use her tweezers that she uses on her face for like my vagina.
You know what? She's right. You are gross.
Oh, I'm totally gross. So now, actually, when we were in Peru, she actually put, she actually went out and bought a separate set of tweezers and like hid the good ones like under the sink so I couldn't find them. And then when I told her I was using them for like an ingrown hair that I had, she was like, ha 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 ha. She's like, I put those there. She's like, those are the fake tweezers. She's like, I hid the real ones because I know how gross you are.
So what's her story? Now, she's 2 years older than you, right?
Yes.
Is she like involved in a relationship or anything, or is she too busy being a doctor?
She is pretty busy being a doctor, and she was doing like the whole eHarmony thing for a while. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, that motherfucker still called me.
Really?
Again and again and again. Wow. My phone like won't stop ringing from him.
Well, are you going to do something about it?
No, I'm really curious to see how much he's going
to scare him off. That's what you need to do.
I think, you know what, can we call him on the air?
Nah.
Come on.
Susie.
Come on.
I mean, this is like probably, I mean, this verges on fucking stalking.
I know.
I mean, this guy is probably like whacked out. And if you call him, if you even acknowledge him, you've got a serious problem here.
Come on. This will be so funny.
No, we're not.
Oh, calling. Please.
Susie.
What?
Well, we'll talk about it on the break. Okay.
Oh, that could be amazing. You always want to do prank phone calls.
No, I know. But you know what? With prank phone calls, you have to get their their permission to use it later.
Trust me, I think he'd be fine with this.
Yeah?
He's like obsessed with me.
Yeah.
And he's never even met me.
Okay, well, let's plan something. Okay, we'll plan.
What can we say
like
to him?
How I don't know.
Why don't you be quiet and I'll pretend...
You'll just talk to him?
I'll pretend I'm like into meeting him or something. Be like, oh, I'm so sorry. I just got your 500 messages. And yeah. I've just been really busy. I don't know. What could be funny to say to him? You're a fucking psycho stalker. Leave me alone, you asshole.
Yeah, find out what is going on through his mind.
Well, did I tell you he's a prop master?
No.
Do you know?
Oh, I think you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, the first thing I saw, I was like, ooh, prop master. I was like, hi. My name's Susie. Ooh, oh, my. You know, an email. Like, ooh, prop master. That sounds naughty. Yeah. I should be a prop master. What a great job.
Yeah. But you see, when you talk like that, I mean, you end up walking into hell, you know, with people that you
realized.
Don't know. Yes.
Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah, you got to be careful, Susie. I mean, this town is full. How many people are in this town? Do you have any idea? 5 million? Seven million?
Yeah.
That's a lot of fucking people. You know?
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, so you never know what you're going to run into.
I know. That, you know, you sound like Candace right now.
Yeah, well, you know, I have to. I mean, it's the reality.
Yes, Dad.
Here we go again. So with your sister, so she's not attached or anything right now.
She has,
right?
Oh, yeah, she's gorgeous.
Yeah.
It runs in the family.
Yeah, I suppose. But you guys look different, right?
Yeah, you know what? Everyone, it's so weird because when we were little, we both had the exact same bowl haircut. Mm-hmm. I had blonde hair when I was very little. But we had the exact same bowl haircut. I mean, it was hysterical the way it just like kind of flowed over like our ears and our eyes perfectly. But like over Christmas, like I was finding all these old pictures and I was like, Mom, I was like, is this Mimi or me? My mom's like putting her glasses on. She's like, and I was like, well, who is it? I was like, you know, you're our mother. Like you should know.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't know. Like we looked identical. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we just like branched off and grew into completely separate entities.
Wow, that's interesting.
I know. Maybe it's the copious amounts of drugs that I've done.
Yeah.
And she was doing copious amounts of studying.
Yeah.
To become a doctor.
That's where you diverged.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to go with yes on that one.
Yeah.
Oh man.
So okay, but you still going to school too, so you don't have to feel inferior.
Well, no, my family was like, Susie, you've been in undergraduate school for as long as your sister's been in school, but she's a doctor. You don't even have a fucking associate's degree. So like, what have you been doing? Like, I don't know.
You've been drinking. That's what you've been doing.
Well,
I mean, think if you filled all that time with studying, how much more you would have accomplished.
Well, listen to how good I am. I have a safety net in place in case Australia doesn't work out.
Yeah.
If Australia doesn't work out, I start school on Monday here.
What? This Monday?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, wait. Shit. Today's the 12th. Maybe it's today.
Usually school starts on Monday or Tuesday, though. Not on a Thursday.
I don't remember. The 12th sounds about right.
Really?
Or no, maybe the 12th is the last day of the winter semester.
I see.
I think classes start next week.
Really?
But anyway, I signed up for a physical anthropology and an art class.
Oh, just in case?
Just in case.
I see.
But I was like, fuck statistics, like fuck chemistry, fuck physics, fuck all these other things. Like,
yeah. You're going to put it off till later?
Physical anthropology because of these earrings. Look.
Yeah,
That's about them? The monkey from the Nazca lines.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to be an anthropologist if I don't go. You think I'm absolutely insane?
No. I already know you. I think you're completely insane.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
No, you're so sweet. Tom.
But people are getting withdrawals of you leaving, you know?
Really?
Yeah. I mean, there's like messages for you on Facebook all the time.
Oh.
People are like, yeah, don't leave, blah, blah, blah.
Well, you know what? Now all these people just have a fabulous place to come visit me.
Yeah, that's true.
My family probably... I still haven't even told my family that I'm moving.
What?
Yeah. Only my sister knows.
Really?
Yep.
And you want to tell me she hasn't talked to them about it?
I don't know. Probably not.
Now, let's analyze that for a moment.
Okay.
Why wouldn't your parents know by now that you're moving?
Because I haven't told them.
Okay. Why?
Because I don't feel like getting all the flack from them that's going to be right. coming.
Oh, the lecturing and stuff.
I don't have my bulletproof vest on.
So what are you going to do? I mean, are you going to call them from there and say, I moved to Australia?
I'll send them a Facebook message.
Susie.
What?
Come on, you're nicer than that, you know. Look, you're going to have to face it, so just do it. Just do it. I mean, look, you're accustomed
to it,
right? Well,
I want to wait... Now you fucked everything up with bringing my car over there. That
I
totally
fucked it up?
Yes.
Okay, you know what? Take it. Forget I said anything. Take it.
I am going to take it.
Okay, good.
Fine.
So take your fucking car. But
fine, it's
what
done.
Does that have to do with your parents, though?
Well, I was kind of waiting until everything was like finalized, until
right.
I got my visa. You know what I mean? Until I was like at the airport, and then I would call and be like,
"Yeah, that's
Hi.
Very unusual." You must agree with that.
What's unusual?
To call them right as you're about to board the plane to tell them I'm moving to Australia.
You know? I'm sure they expect it or something like that.
Really, yeah.
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 Like there's nothing left that will shock them really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God.
But okay, so okay, I understand about your mom, but aren't you pretty close with your dad?
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah. We're close in the sense that we never talk. But
so how is that close?
But when we see each other, we have a really good time.
I see.
We get drunk, okay, and play golf and go skiing.
Right.
And then get drunk again.
Yeah, but no substantial relationship there. It sounds like surface to me. I mean, we get together, we do things, blah, blah, blah. You know, where's the feelings here? Where's
But I love him. Emotions? He's my daddy.
Of course. Of course you do.
My dad and I, we've got a good relationship.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of, I don't know. It's different. Like with my dad, like months can go by and we could not talk.
Right.
And then I can call and he'll be like, hey, what's up? And I'm like, oh, nothing. Just call and say hi. And he's like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
You know? And he doesn't get mad. Like months will go by and like I won't talk to my mother. And then she throws like a fit. She's like, why haven't you called?
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's a two-way street. You can call too.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? I'm like, you have a phone.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I've been so busy. And I'm like, well, I've been really busy too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
But
I've been too busy.
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes. The issues arise again.
Yeah, the issues arise.
Yes. I'm telling you, I've got my Freudian slip mug. It's when Freud's laying on the couch and it's like, when I say one thing, but I mean my mother. You mean another. What?
But you need to resolve that, you know, at least for yourself. Not with your parents, but inside of you.
I think
because
it has been resolved.
I don't think so, Susie. Okay?
Well, we used to.
Look at all the bottles of wine. That's to suppress all that, okay?
Now, I just like being drunk.
No,
I know. It's really fun.
I know, but you're really, really drunk. I mean, you're to the point where you don't remember
shit. Well, do you abuse any kind of substance?
No, but, you know, yes. Okay, I smoke cigarettes. Okay. All right, but it's not the same, Susie.
It is too,
okay,
the same.
Okay, because I can still function.
I function. Am I late for work ever? No.
Okay, but
do I take very good care of my children?
I don't think the cigarettes are suppressing emotions there, you know? It's not the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But okay, so I won't analyze you anymore, but
ha.
I do think... I do think... No, I mean, really, seriously for a moment, okay? This thing is going to keep... You know, keep coming up because that's what you need to work on in your life. And if you haven't resolved it, it'll keep coming up until you do resolve it.
I've resolved things from my end. You know, the things that are left unresolved with my mother are from her end.
Right.
And when once her medication stabilizes, things will be good. Oh, I'm just kidding. No, it's fine because I'm seriously moving as far away from possible as I can. From
possible?
As far away as possible.
As possible. So.
From my mother.
Yeah.
So I'm just kidding. I hope she's not listening.
She's too busy. She's not listening.
I know, but like, oh man, that would be awful.
Yeah.
Over Christmas, she was on this radio show with one of her select chorus groups. And that was the day my sisters and me were all going down to the city to go see my dad.
Right.
And so she was like, you guys are going to miss my radio show. You're not going to get to hear it. And I was like, oh, Mom, you can be on my radio show. Why don't you call in as a guest one day?
Yeah.
And she stopped dead in her tracks.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, I will never be a guest on your radio show.
Really?
She's like, I've heard the things you say about me on your radio show.
Wow.
And so I was just like, okay.
Yeah, well,
like,
maybe she could give her side of the story.
I wonder what her side of the story would be.
Yeah.
I'm actually very good at like seeing both sides of stories usually.
Right.
Like when it comes to politics and like, you know, discussions on religion and things like that, like I could always pick either side and like argue either side like very well because I can see both sides of everything. But I wonder what her side would be.
Yeah.
Huh. It's a good question.
Yeah.
I wonder if I finished my taxes.
Now, there's a nice segue there.
So today I get to go to show and tell at a preschool.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, what are you going to show and tell?
My lizard.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
I'm so
excited.
They're
going to love that.
I know.
They're
going to
love that.
It's going to be so cute. These little kids are so adorable. You don't even know.
Really? I can imagine.
I look like a kind of like a, I don't know, some kind of like weird stalker person when I go and pick them up at school sometimes because I don't want to like disrupt the class.
Right.
And so I just kind of lurk outside the door and like listen to like the last like little circle and the storytelling and everything as I'm lurking and staring. Like I've had teachers and principals walk up to me and they're like, who are you? Like, why are you just standing there like staring at the children?
You're dangerous. You could be very dangerous to kids, huh?
I am not dangerous.
Yeah.
Should we call our author?
Let's call the author, Susie, and just give us a little background on the
More
book.
More things on wealth and happiness. This sounds like yesterday's book, kind of.
No, this one's different. This one's really different.
Really?
You know, because, yesterday was more about, like, who you know and stuff, you know? And today it's more about...
The lady from Oregon. Or not, or yeah, Portland.
No, she was in Puget Sound in Seattle.
Oh, Seattle, yes.
Right, yeah. So we're calling Noah St. John. And
the book is The Secret Code of Success.
Sounds good. And I'm telling you, I love this book. He's going to love this.
Hello, this is Noah.
Noah, good morning to you. This is Sam and Susie calling you from Los Angeles. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Sam and Susie. Thank you very much.
Great. And where are we calling you? What part of the country are you in?
I am in Ohio, just south of Cleveland.
Very nice. We haven't had an Ohio person, I don't think, ever.
Well, you know, I'm glad to be the first or something.
No, I think we did. We did have one. And he called it some... that's what they do, the dictionary in Cleveland.
Oh, the dictionary guy, yeah.
Like Webster Dictionary they do there in Cleveland.
Well, with supposedly. A name like Noah, you know I love the dictionary.
There you go, there you go. Listen, I'm really excited about your book, Secret Code of Success, and I started reading it, I was telling Susie yesterday, and you really are taking a different approach, I think, to quote-unquote self-help, which you call shelf help. And because people apparently still can't get their lives together. Tell us a little bit about this. How is your book different?
Well, most books that you read on success were written by people, and they'll tell you things like, they were the number one salesperson in every company, and, you know, they were they had a paper route while they were still an embryo, or they, you know, were a millionaire while the rest of us were playing video games. Well, my story is exactly the opposite. I was the world's most highly educated underachiever.
Right.
And so I had all these scholarships to college and all of these, you know, things, and yet I found myself after I left college in a series of dead-end jobs, like I was a waiter, a secretary. I was even cleaning toilets as a housekeeper, and I kept saying to myself, why is someone with such education, how could they have ended up being such a loser? And also, how come people who are dumber than me have so much more money than I do?
Yeah, I ask that all the time.
Annoying. It was just very frustrating. So I started studying all these self-help books and success and how to make money and all these things, you know, that most people have done, many people have done. And then after all those years of time and energy and money, I asked myself another question, which was, how come I spent all this time and money learning how to succeed, and I'm still so broke? That was even more frustrating. So one night in 1997, I actually had an epiphany. I was sitting at a seminar, and I realized why so many smart, creative, talented people had spent tens of thousands of dollars on every self-help program were still going down the road of life with one foot on the brake. And yet, even more amazing was it was not what was being taught in the traditional success literature that was out there. And I knew that because I'd read everything.
Yes.
And no one had ever talked about it. And so that's where I discovered the secret code of success. And the reason it's called, by the way, the secret code of success is because it's a secret to only two types of people, those who are successful and those who are struggling.
Right.
and by the way, your listeners can get the first three chapters of the book for free. Just they can download the first three chapters right at secretcodebook.com, just like having your own secret code book. Just go to secretcodebook.com. You can read the first three chapters, download those, and see if you resonate with the story, my story, like millions of people actually, tens of thousands have told me, but I know there are many, many more out there.
Yeah, and definitely, I think just reading the first couple chapters, it's going to grab you. It pulls you in, you know. And yes, and I wanted to ask you, Susie, you had a question?
No, I like how he says, get rid of their head trash.
Yeah. What is head trash?
Well, that is that little voice inside of most of us that, you know, is that saying, you can't do it. Who do you think you are? No one in your family has ever succeeded. No one's ever gone to college. You can't be a millionaire. You can't make $10 million. You know, it's that head trash. And, you know, there have been a lot of course, books out there and things telling you how to get rid of it or whatever. But ironically, what I've realized is actually that head trash isn't really the problem. The problem isn't that it's there. The problem is that we have never been given a system to get rid of it. And I'll give you an example. I was speaking with Tiger Woods' coach, his first coach, Butch Harmon, and he told me that Tiger actually has head trash. I mean, he's definitely afraid of hitting it to the left. Now, what's the difference between Tiger Woods and you and me, and in fact, everybody else on the tour? Well, the fact is, Tiger has an awesome system to get rid of that head trash. So clearly, his head trash is not holding him back.
Right.
However, the problem is Tiger couldn't tell you what his system is. Why? Because he's too unconscious. He's literally what we call unconscious or unconsciously competent at allowing himself to succeed. So he's not even consciously aware of what the system is. And all of the multimillionaires that I've interviewed and have coached, they haven't been aware of it either consciously. They're just doing it. So when you get people who are very successful who read my book, they say, well, no, that's exactly right. I never thought of it that way.
Right, right.
Well, no kidding, because you're too unconscious. So that's really why, you know, the secret code of success is really a bridge for the rest of us to get there.
Right. Now, you used the analogy of an iceberg there. Can you discuss this for a moment? Because I think that is the foundation of the book, is the why to's and the why not to's. And I thought that was, like, amazing. It was a different way, a fresh way to look at things.
You got it. And again, right at secretcodebook.com, you can actually read exactly what Sam's talking about there. But really, it's on page 17, it's called the iceberg of consciousness. And really what we have going on in the human being is the why to's and the why not to's, and the conscious and the subconscious. And the way it works is actually very simple, but as you mentioned, no one's ever really said it this way before. We have the why to's of success that exist on the conscious level. In other words, everyone wants to succeed. Everyone wants more money, a bigger house, you know, their own island in the Caribbean, whatever success means to you. So that's the why to's, and they all exist on a conscious level. That's why people are spending tens of thousands of dollars. People come to me after spending $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 on every success program out there, but they're still stuck. Why are they stuck? Because no one's told them about the why not to's of success. Well, what does that mean? What could be a why not to of actually allowing yourself to succeed? Well, as I show you on page 17, like I said, and in my seminars, I ask people, well, what could be a cost of allowing yourself to succeed? And they go, well, it's going to take too much time. I'm too busy. You know, I don't want the extra responsibility. What if someone laughs at me? What if I go for it and I lose it all? What if people find out I'm a fraud? Now, notice, these are all in your subconscious mind. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, well, it looks like a beautiful day. I think I'll hold myself back from success today.
Yes.
I think I'll buy this book or go to the seminar so I can learn how to sabotage myself better.
Yeah.
You know, of course we don't do that. But nevertheless, just like an iceberg, the human mind is about 10% that is conscious. About 90% is hidden, or it's invisible. It's below the conscious. It's below the surface. That's why the subtitle of the book is Seven Hidden Steps to More Wealth and Happiness. These are not obvious. In fact, they're totally hidden, but the 3%ers, the unconscious people, are doing them without knowing it, and the rest of us don't know it. So
yeah.
It's like, great.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, so many people I'm getting so many people writing me around the world now with the new book and just saying, you know, Noah, this explains everything that I've been trying to study and spent so much money on.
It really does, you know, and I was thinking when I was reading this, I was thinking of the concept of what motivates people is really seeking pleasure and avoiding pain. And I think what you're saying is really exactly the same thing. And I think what happens is these, avoiding the pain is stronger than seeking the pleasure. And essentially what you're saying is all this, all these why not to's in the subconscious do the same thing.
Well, you're right, and I was just talking with a multimillionaire friend of mine, and he had bought the book and was sharing it with his staff, and he was talking with actually a friend of his, and he was showing him, you know, all the ways he could make money, and this, you know, that's what he does, is he helps people make money, and the guy was getting really uncomfortable the more he showed him how to make money, and it didn't make any sense to him until he had read my book and said, he was bringing up all these subconscious why not to's, which, you know, as you say, would be the projected pain or the fear that we have. But again, if it's totally subconscious, you don't know you have your foot on the brake, and you certainly don't know why, and you have never been told how to get your foot off the brake. And really, traditional teachers have very simply just told us to step on the gas harder. Well, if you're not getting where you want to go, just set your goals.
Yes.
Believe in yourself. Work harder. Or work smarter, not harder. Or visualize it. I mean, that's all fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you're driving down the road with one foot on the brake and you step on the gas harder, does that really help you get to where you're going faster? You just ruin your car faster.
Yeah,
that's why... again, that's why people come to me after spending all this money on everyone else, and they start doubling their income. They start losing 20 pounds in 60 days after they tried every diet program because they stop holding themselves back from getting what they really want.
Right, right. And as I said, you know, I've read quite a few self-help books myself, and and really, I haven't really read anything recently, but then this thing came out, and I'm telling you, it just grabbed me the first couple pages. So I congratulate you on this. I think this is really different. And The Secret Code of Success by Noah St. John. Now, you mentioned also seminars. Where can people find out about that?
Well, if you go to our new website, successclinic.com, that's the main website, and also just go to secretcodebook.com, get those three chapters, and again, the book is available anywhere books are sold. We talk about the seminars there, and you know, we're updating the website constantly. We've got people coming from all over the world now, so it's really, really exciting, and we'd love, you know, certainly love to see people at one of our live events.
Wonderful, and you sound very passionate about this. And
and you sound very successful.
Most important thing, yes.
Well, it's just really a pleasure to be able to help people and see, you know, the light bulbs go on, see people doubling their income, tripling even, you know, in less than a year, seeing people get the results that they've worked so hard for, and it just makes my life very fulfilling and makes me really happy to be able to share these secrets with people.
Yeah.
That's great.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again, Noah, and all the best to you with the book.
Thanks, Sam and Susie. I appreciate it, and feel free to put a comment on Amazon there for me if you like the book.
We'd love to. And
absolutely.
We'll put a link up on our website as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that very
sure.
much.
Thank you, Noah. Bye bye.
Okay. Bye.
All right.
I like his voice.
Yeah, he's a very cool guy. You see, he's got his stuff together. You know,
he sounds like one of my ex boyfriends. He sounds like Todd. Todd's like and very smart and very articulate, but just I don't know, the way he talks is intonation and everything.
Yeah.
I kept wanting to call him Todd. I kept like spacing out and just thinking back. Oh my God.
Do you zone out sometimes?
I completely zoned out for like 10 minutes.
Really? Well, good thing I was awake. I mean, that sometimes happens to me, you know, like you'll start talking to the guest or something and I'm just sort of like going into the background and stuff. It's tempting to do that, you know, but you have to remember you're on fucking radio. You're supposed to talk.
That's what you're here for.
Yeah.
You're my babysitter. You're my nanny.
Yeah. What'd you do to your hair up there? It looks like you have a foo-foo or something.
A foo-foo?
Yeah. You know what a foo-foo is? Yeah, it's those things.
I look like
a baby.
A foo-foo. Well, I didn't shower this morning, so it's a little greasy and just kind of whatever.
Do we need to know that?
I don't know.
How can you not shower in the morning? You know, when I jump in the shower in the morning, I think, fuck, you know? I mean, it's like there's no way I could start the day without it.
It depends on the morning. It depends on my evening, and it depends on a lot of things.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just too cold to get in the shower, and you don't want to be all wet. And sometimes I just sleep in too late, and I want to make it to the show on time.
Yeah.
I do it for you, Sam.
Thank you very much, Susan. And on that note, we'll take a little break, and we'll be back right after this.
You love her. She loves you. And she's also loved your best friend, the mailman, and, during one impulsive moment, somebody your dad plays golf with.
Hey, mind if I play through?
Oh, make it a hole in one.
She's a loving person, and she's given you so much, so often. This Valentine's Day, why not give her something that says how much you understand what she's given you? Give her the all-new STD bouquet. The STD bouquet is sure to ignite her burning passion. Or at least a burning sensation.
That hurts.
The STD bouquet. The one gift she'll have long after this Valentine's Day is over.
Ow!
On your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone. Commercial-free original talk. Only on LA Talk Radio. Your favorite talk station. Favorite talk station.
Can you feel me when I stare through the window? like you around. And it'll take the sun to jump behind the moon, shine around on it laying in your room, for me to see.
Nancy's joining me because the message this evening is not my message, but ours. Despite our best efforts, shortages of marijuana are now being reported. From the early days of our administration, Nancy has been using marijuana on a daily basis, and her personal observations and efforts have given her such dramatic insights that I wanted her to share them with you this evening.
I yearn to find a way to help share the message that drugs open your eyes to life, to see it in the vivid colors that God gave us.
And drug abuse is not a crime. And in the most important area, individual use, we see progress. The U.S. military has more than tripled the use of drugs among its personnel since 1980. And there's one more thing. Nancy and I are hooked on heroin. Our goal is to expand drug trafficking at all levels of government and in the private sector. Help us.
You're listening to the best morning show on internet radio. It's Sam and Susie in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
And we're fully energized, and we have our guest in the studio. Good morning.
Morning.
Monroe.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Good. Susie, I got to meet her when she was here with Max. Remember Max?
I love Max.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He is so adorable.
He's such a riot, right?
Yes, he really is. Like, when he was on the show, I was like, I don't want you to leave. I was like, let's go for another hour. Let's just keep talking.
I know, for
he's
sure.
Really cool. How'd you guys meet?
Actually, a mutual friend of ours, Derek. He Shout out to Derek right now. Mm-hmm. I've known him for a while. We always just have fun together, partying and that kind of thing. So.
Yeah. You need to get a little closer to the mic. Maybe push that screen a little closer to the mic. There you go, because we want to hear every word you have to say.
Of course. Is this better?
Yeah,
much better.
Much better.
Okay,
good.
Cool.
So you live around here?
Yeah, I do. I live in near Pasadena area. So it's near Occidental campus. So
really?
Yeah.
Did you grow up here in LA?
No, I actually grew up north of Boston. So
really?
East
where?
Manchester by the Sea.
Oh my God, I used to work there.
Really?
Yes.
Where?
I lived in Marblehead for 4 years.
Shut up.
Yes.
Small world.
Really small world. I worked at a place guys called Chircolo. It was like a little.
Oh my god! Yeah, I used to go there all the time.
You knew Paulo and everything.
Yeah.
Ah, that's so funny. I bartended there for.
They had like the best risotto ever.
Oh my god, it was amazing. No way! It's so gorgeous up there, Sam. It's a gorgeous,
really?
Gorgeous area.
Yeah, I want to go up there. I've never been to that part of the country.
And Singing
before.
Beach. Did you like grow up in Singing Beach?
Yeah, it's so beautiful.
That's so cool.
Wow. So, and when did you move here?
About 4 years ago. You know, I'm going to school, so this is my last year. So it's been about 4 years, believe it or not.
Really? Wow. Wow.
Where are you in school?
I'm sorry?
Where are you in school?
Occidental College.
Oh, great.
Yeah, Obama went there. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow,
he transferred,
that's cool.
But whatever.
And what are you taking in school?
I'm actually an art history and studio art major, so.
Oh, that's cool. I loved the art history classes in school, you know?
I love it, yeah.
Yeah, it really opens up your eyes, right, mm-hmm. to what's going on and stuff. Wow, so what are you going to do when you grow up then with art history?
Well, I mean, art history is just something I'm passionate about, you know? I've always loved art, and so I feel like just using that knowledge in everyday life, I think, is you know, beneficial. And I don't know, nothing, I'm not going to be a curator or anything. Yeah. But definitely pull my knowledge out at cocktail parties and whatnot.
Yeah. Fabulous, fabulous.
Yeah.
And you are developing a singing career too, right?
Yeah, I'm working on that right now. So after I graduate, I'm going to, you know, pursue it full time.
That's
wow,
awesome. And we have her song here also. We'll play in a few minutes.
For sure.
And that, and this is awesome. So, what was I going to ask? I mean, there's so many things I wanted to ask you and stuff. But but you come from a respectable family, right?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that. I mean, we probably have heard of you.
Yeah, for sure. Well, my dad is probably, you know, the most well-known of my parents, Roger King. He kind of founded King World Productions. So, I mean, they're responsible for distributing, like, Oprah, Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy, Dr.
Right,
Phil.
All those daytime shows,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so
wow.
A lot of talk shows.
Yeah. I know. I've seen a lot of shows that have King World Productions on them and stuff.
Yeah, CSI and, you know, America's Next Top Model.
Really? Wow, yeah. That's amazing. And how long has he been doing that?
Actually, he passed away about last year. So.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That must have been hard, huh?
Yeah, it was hard. I mean, I think when anyone loses a parent, you know, you kind of reevaluate things. But
yeah,
it's been a struggle, but honestly, it's made me a stronger person. And so...
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I know, it's kind of hard. You know, I never experienced death by really somebody that close, you know. I mean, even when my grandfather died, it was like overseas and that, and we hadn't been that close, you know. But I can imagine with a parent, it's probably like the worst thing.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of changes have been happening in this last year, but, you know.
You have a good social support system. And
yeah,
everything.
I mean, my mom's around, and so I have a good family, and they've all been really supportive.
Is your family still on the East Coast?
I actually, yeah, my family lives on the East Coast, but I have a few aunts and uncles that live in, you know, Bel Air area.
Yeah, yeah,
so.
Cool.
Yeah, they're awesome. They've been great to me.
Wonderful.
That's mm-hmm. cool. That's cool.
Do you have any brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have two sisters, Anna Rose and Kelly. And
older, younger?
Older. I'm the baby.
Me too.
Yeah, I love
it. Are they
it.
As beautiful as you are?
Of course, they're gorgeous.
Really? I know I'm much older, but can I say you're beautiful?
Oh, thank you.
Sure.
She's gorgeous.
Isn't she, though?
And she's wearing fabulous boots.
Yeah. You notice, huh?
Of course.
I mean, what is it with women in shoes? I don't get it.
You know, you can't, like, get in between our shoes. Like,
they make or break an outfit. I mean, seriously.
Really?
You can see someone, like, walking into a room, and it's just like, you start at the feet, and you kind of, like, work your way up, and you're either, I don't know, sometimes I'll just stop at the feet, and I'm like, no, I'm not even going to bother getting to the face. But,
I like your heads up.
Thank you.
Cool. So they're older than you. You're the baby.
Yeah.
Wow. So three girls in the family, huh?
I know. No boys. I always wanted an older brother, though.
Really? I know. You always want what you don't have, you know? It's mm-hmm. like I've got only brothers, and I wanted a sister.
Yeah.
But now that I see my son and my daughter, I'm saying they don't get along very well, you know? I don't know about that, you know?
Yeah.
Awesome. So you've got a lot of friends, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'd say so.
You're like all over the place pretty much, right?
Yeah, I mean, Facebook has been, I mean, that's how I've been like reaching out to my friends for the radio
awesome?
Show and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, Facebook is awesome, huh?
It's
Susie?
Amazing.
It's kind of weird though, let's be honest.
Yeah, it can be weird.
What's
like, it
weird?
Can kind of like
What's
take over your
on?
Life.
I mean, like my generation is like the Facebook generation. So
right.
It's like, you know, there's people I know through Facebook that I haven't ever said hi to. And it's just kind of weird. You know, at a small school, it's bizarre.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Wow.
It's a lot of, like, superficial friendships, but I have a bunch of really good friends.
Do you?
Yeah.
And how did you pick this college out of all the colleges?
Well, I was actually going to go to Paris, the American University of Paris, and then I came to L.A. and just fell in love with the campus.
Really?
I mean, they filmed, like, The O.C., Clueless, and, you know, a bunch of, like, crazy movies that I was just like, wow. Like, actually, Clueless was the one that, like, was the clincher.
It sealed the deal.
So yeah, it's That's a gorgeous hysterical. It's really a beautiful campus. So when I got there, I was just kind of like, yeah, this is happening.
Is that your phone?
Yeah.
That's a pretty cool ring.
It's French.
I like your zebra case on it.
Thanks. Yeah, this is the G phone. It's kind of crazy. I can scan barcodes. Whoa. Like when I'm shopping, scan a barcode on a dress and check it to see if it's cheaper online or in a neighboring store.
No way.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Wow. Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's the most high tech phone I've ever had.
Really?
Whoa.
And you know what they have on phones now? My son has this thing where you play a song, any song on the radio, you put your phone
Shazam.
Next to it.
Yeah, it's called Shazam.
And it recognizes the friggin' song and the
artist.
And
it'll tell you who it is.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
I mean, isn't that like friggin' awesome?
Shazam is unbelievable. And I just like the word. You just want to be like, Shazam.
I mean, but the technology behind it just boggles my mind, you know? I mean, that a machine can recognize a song, you know, just by the song itself.
Sometimes I'll just be like walking down the street and like that word will come into my head and I'll just stop and like jump back and I'm like, Shazam! And people are like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I just had the urge.
The urge.
You just want to like say that word.
Shazam was a superhero, actually. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. He had this lightning on his suit and stuff.
Oh,
yeah,
I saw him at Six Flags Great Adventure, and I called it Captain, I've Got Your Package, because I was grabbing, I took a picture with him, and I was kind of grabbing his, you know.
His junk.
His junk.
Now, you're very fashionable, obviously. Have you always been like that?
Yeah, I've always, like, even when I was a little girl, this is really funny. My mom told me this, you know, a while ago. But she said I would get up really early in the morning and dress myself and, like, really? Pick out the outfit that I wanted to wear. So I've always kind of, you know, owned my outfits and just kind of, like, worked it and trusted my instincts, if you will.
Wow. Yes. And I like important. Your fur.
Thanks.
I thought I was, like, the only person in L.A. that freaking wore fur.
It's so cold here.
I know. It's pretty bad.
But not compared to Boston.
I mean, I don't know. I was looking at the weather forecast in Boston, and they're pretty close. They're like 50s and they're like 50s and 40s, and more like 50s and 60s.
Yeah, so it's not as cold there anymore, huh?
Yeah,
they had a cold wave there a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I was actually there for like Christmas and New Year's and stuff, and it was like below like 10 degrees. It was so freaking cold. Wow.
Was it like that when you lived there, Susie?
In Boston?
Yeah.
Oh my God, yeah. In really? Marblehead, like, I'm telling you, like, you have all the yachting people that come in for the summers, and everyone loves Marblehead in the summer, you know, blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, like, you know, the last day of summer, everyone's gone from that town. It's like a ghost town. Mm-hmm. And then it's only, like, the diehards that stay and can actually, like, put up with the winters.
Wow. They're pretty bad.
It's really bad.
Yeah.
But
I don't know
gorgeous.
How people can live like this, you know? I mean, it gets to be 37 degrees here, and I'm freezing.
I don't know. I put up with it for so long. I just love the history, and like the buildings are just beautiful. That's one thing I miss about the East Coast.
The architecture is so much better.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Out here, I mean, everything was built kind of like in the 60s, and you're like, really? Like, even if people are like super rich, you're like, no, not so much.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, God.
Wow. So you're close in age, right? I mean, how old are you now?
23?
I'm 21.
21?
21. Oh, wow. Yeah.
I'm 26. I'm old.
You know what? I would give my left testicle to be 21 again. I really would. I mean, God, you know, you're at the best time of your life. I'm telling
loving
you.
It.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Wow. And what about the love life? Anything going on there?
I mean, I don't know. I think for Valentine's Day, I'm just going to go out with my girls. So.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah, it'll be fun, honestly. Like, I'd rather go out with my girls and dance and go have fun than, like, go on a bad date on Valentine's Day.
Seriously.
Really?
Like, word up.
Yeah. Are you pretty picky when it comes to guys?
Yeah, I'm really picky.
I'm not picky at all.
I love her.
Yeah, she'll take anyone.
My phone is like
your phone
off.
Is going crazy.
People call into the show, not my phone.
Yeah, call into the show. By the way, yes, if you want to talk to Monroe, I know your friends like to talk to you and your fans and everything. And when she was here last time, the phone lines melted.
Really?
When she was here with Max, yeah,
aww.
Absolutely.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was. So the phone number, what is it, Susie? Do you remember?
323-203-0815.
Yeah, in fact, here's a reminder.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio Channel 1. call in, dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815.
There you go.
And excellent.
Don't you love that?
I've never heard that one before.
I know, it's new. I've been forgetting to Shows you how important it is for me to get phone calls.
I know, right? We just ignore everyone. We're just like, what? Don't call our show. Like, this is our show. Leave us alone.
Yeah. So let's get a little into your family and stuff. So what does your mom do? You said your dad was like the more famous. I mean, or is your mom in entertainment?
No, actually, this is a funny story. My mom's actually a minister.
Whoa. Really?
Wow. Yeah, I mean, after she, you know, divorced from my dad, she found Jesus. And my dad said, he's like, yeah, the only guy I can't compete with is Jesus.
Yeah, there you go. Walking water and
yeah.
stuff.
Wow, a female minister. What church is that in?
I mean, Presbyterian. She's actually, like, pretty hot. She's, like, the hottest minister ever.
Really?
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Well, she must be if you are, right?
Aw, you're sweet.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, no, really, it stays in the family sometimes. But, I mean, have you ever wondered, you know, you see, like, really ugly people with beautiful kids. I mean, what's that about?
I don't know.
You
know?
Yeah.
Something that happens, yeah. So.
Fetal alcohol syndrome. Smoking the crack pipe while you're pregnant. Don't do it.
Just say no.
Yeah, but no, it's amazing because kids are just cute, period. You know?
I know, then, it's kind of like either hit or miss. Like, my boyfriend right now is pretty hot, and like when I met him, I was like, ooh, I think we should have babies together. And he's like, all right. He's like, you'll do. You're pretty cute yourself. And I was like, thanks, asshole.
You'll do.
But then I was like, you know, seriously, like, two beautiful people can really make an ugly baby.
Yeah, it's true.
And so I kind of get worried sometimes. I'm like, oh, man, I wish there was, like, some way you could, like, scan your stomach and just be like, all right, facial recognition, okay. Abort mission.
Yeah, I've definitely seen some ugly babies, I'm not going to lie. Cute ones too, but definitely some haggards.
Yeah. I want to show you a really funny picture, actually, speaking of babies.
Do you, are you planning a family eventually and stuff?
I mean,
are you a family person?
Not
anytime soon. No, but I mean, in your future, I mean, do you look forward to something like that, or do you want to focus on a career?
I mean, I definitely want to have kids eventually, but, you know, I want to have a career before that and kind of, you know, do my thing, be young and have fun,
yeah,
and then have kids.
I know, that's awesome. So, what are you showing
teeth?
Her?
It's a pacifier that has lips and, like, really crooked yellow, like,
Austin Powers teeth.
Yes, Austin Powers teeth. Put it in the baby's mouth. It's like, just shut up, don't cry, suck your neck.
So funny.
Yeah. So you do singing. When did you start actually recording? I mean, did you write your song?
Yeah, I mean, I had the idea initially, and all the lyrics are mine. I had some help writing it, like, musically. Shout out to Nightbird Recording Studio. They're awesome. But I just started in August, actually. I just, like, kind of wanted to shift gears. I was doing a little bit of acting and just wasn't feeling it as much. Felt like in LA, it's just kind of, like, ridiculous to do acting. It's just, like, so many actors. So I just started writing, and it just, Fashionista came out of that. And, you know, it's cool. I have a lot of other stuff up my sleeve, though, for
really?
Sure. Yeah.
So this is the first song. This would be, like, the single and stuff, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
This is the first finished song.
Fashionista. And,
I like it already.
Do you? Yeah, it's up your alley right there. So, okay, let's listen.
Close to the prize, gotta work it, boy.
Sing is contagious, man.
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
It's a perfect LA song.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Britney wouldn't mind singing this song. This is cool.
It's mine.
Yeah. You definitely have a hit on your hands here. Now, do you have any people representing you and stuff to try and promote this music?
I mean, I have. I don't want to, like, get, like, too into it right now because right. I really want to get my degree and just kind of, you know, that's really important to me to, like, get that, you know? So I'm going to wait and just kind of do it after I graduate.
Really? You need a lot of time to work on this, huh?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
When are you going to graduate, did you say?
May.
Okay, cool. Congratulations.
Wow, that's
so
cool.
So close, yet so far.
So graduating at 21, that's kind of young, isn't it? Isn't it usually 22 or something?
Well, I'm turning 22 in March.
Oh, I see.
March 1.
Okay.
March 7th.
On March 14th.
Yay, Pisces.
Yes.
What's good about Pisces?
We're fishy people. We're wishy-washy. We're very easygoing. You know what I mean? Like, we kind of just roll with whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that true?
Yeah, I'd say so.
You know, we could be pretty ambitious if we want, but we could also be, I don't know, really laid back and lackadaisical.
Yeah. I don't know what it is about astrology, though. I mean, do you believe, let's say that, you know, because they have to have your place of birth and time of birth and all that. So does that mean that if you're in the same hospital with 20 other babies, you're all going to come out to be the same? I mean, what is this?
You could just have underlying characteristics in your personality that might be similar.
Yeah. But I think they all vary, you know? I mean, when you read a horoscope, they all kind of hit a certain note, you know? They all kind of make a little bit of sense.
Yeah, yeah. You know? But I don't know about those horoscopes because...
My horoscope is actually what made me make the decision about moving to Australia.
Really?
Yeah, it said wonderful. There was a very important life change coming and that I really needed to, like, contemplate what was going on in my life before I made it. But,
yeah, the change is a stupid decision.
But if I was feeling, like, you know, really excited about it, I should do it. And so I woke up and I'm like, all right, I'm moving to Australia next week.
Yeah.
I'm moving to Australia.
Really? When?
Yeah. Next week. A week from tomorrow.
Wow. That's crazy.
I know. I spent a month
there
over
Christmas.
Not where
those fires are, right?
No, no. I'm moving into a tropical rainforest where it rains a lot. It's cyclone season right now, so yeah. It's too wet for a fire.
She has her own personal fire there.
Yes.
Yeah.
A hot scuba diving instructor boyfriend.
Nice. Yes, please.
Yes, please is right.
No, Monroe, what about you? Would you move to another place if you met a guy and you met him for a week, you had the best time, everything?
The best sex.
Only a week?
Yeah. Yeah.
Only a week.
I mean, if the conditions were right, I don't know.
If the water's right, I'm getting in.
Do you scuba dive?
No, but that's how I met him. I scuba dove in the Great Barrier Reef.
Wow.
I was just going to go snorkeling, but he gets more money if he gets people that are snorkeling to go scuba diving. So he came up and was like, "Hey, he's like, why don't you try scuba diving?" And I was like, "I will go down with you." What? Then they give you like a little course. And then they're like, "Are you okay? You ready to go down?" And I'm like, "Yes,
go down.
Go. I'm going down to the bottom of the sea. That is." But I went scuba diving out there. It was so amazing.
That's awesome.
Like, I've got these, like, 6-foot fish, like, just swimming right up to my face. And, like, you know, sea turtles, like, that are huge and massive and, like, ancient, just, like, floating right by. It was the most ridiculous thing I've ever done.
Yeah, I saw a sea turtle in Hawaii, actually. I went snorkeling, but it doesn't sound as nearly as cool as 6-foot-long fish.
Oh, my God. I'm telling you. Like, I'll show you a picture on Facebook. It's ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So we have Monroe King in the studio. I wanted to ask you, have you traveled a lot?
Yeah, I have traveled a lot. I actually, last summer, went to Rome for 6 weeks.
Oh, Rome's great.
Nice. Yeah, it was awesome. But I got to travel around Italy, and Capri is definitely my favorite.
Really?
Yeah, I had to go back just
to go
shopping.
That's a little island, right? Capri's a little island?
Yeah, it's an island off of Naples, but I recommend anyone going there. It's just absolutely gorgeous.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So Italy's your favorite place that you've been to?
As of late, yeah, Capri's my favorite place.
Wow. Where else have you been?
Oh, I've been to, you know, France, London, Germany, Austria, I don't know, the Bahamas.
What's Austria like?
Austria, well, I was kind of young when I went there, but they're actually really rude to me. Me and my sister were like,
really?
Me and my sister had this like double seater bike and we were like driving around. We're like, guten tag, and they all were like, so like not having it.
Oh my God.
Well, what about, Susie, have you been to Europe at all?
Yeah, my sister and I spent a month in Spain and Portugal, and then I spent a summer in Rome, Venice, Paris, and London. Had a boyfriend in England.
Right.
Was going back and forth for over there for a while. Yeah. Scotland, yeah.
But that was some time ago that you went, right?
I don't know, 4 years ago?
Yeah.
For Rome,
you've never
Paris,
been
London.
To Amsterdam, though, huh?
No.
What about
you?
Do you want to go to Amsterdam?
I haven't, but I've heard crazy stories.
I really like to go to Amsterdam.
It's Sin City of Europe.
Yes,
definitely.
That's nice.
Yeah. But you know what? The thing is this, though, is that what's beautiful about that place is that you don't have to go and get crazy. There's still a lot of art, definitely a lot of
art. There's great
art
there, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Van Gogh Museum and stuff. And there's a lot to see, you know, the Anne Frank Museum. Did I tell you I went there? That was like an amazing thing. I mean, you know, you just sort of connect with what went on there and stuff, you know?
I can only imagine.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Wow. So so you don't have a boyfriend right now, right?
No.
Okay. What does it take for someone to become your boyfriend? I mean, what do you look for in a guy?
Well, I don't know. They have to be kind of like established on their own. They kind of, I want them to have their own life, and I want to have my own life.
Right.
And I want them to like intertwine like a really, you know, positive way. Someone that like I want to like be a better person around, you
right,
know, and stuff
right.
like that. And you know, they have to work for it. I'm, you know, I have my own thing going on, and like I'm not gonna sit around and think about a guy. And you know what I'm saying? Like I want them to want me, and I want them to make it obvious.
Right. Yeah. Do you think sometimes people are attracted to you because of who you are, or who you are as a person rather than what you are?
You know, I try not to think about that.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it's kind of hard to think that like someone would be going after me for the wrong reasons, but
right. But you never know.
But you do live in LA.
LA guys, I like don't get.
I know. Really? But seriously, what's up with them here?
I don't know. They're like all like they act gay, and I don't get it.
Even straight guys act gay?
Yeah, they're like divas.
Really?
They really, really, really are.
It's funny.
It's really ridiculous.
I don't get it.
Now, is this every age group, you think, Susie? Or
I just find the men here to be completely vacuous and just fucking the space cadets. And you know what I mean? They're just so into themselves.
Yeah.
And it's like, really? Okay, well, you know what? Fuck you. I'm going to be into myself, too, and move to Australia.
No, but like, it's hard to find like a genuine like person in LA. I feel like they're all pretty jaded, and they all, you know, they're all into their own careers, and a lot of them are like, trying to go into entertainment, so they don't mind trying to like, you know,
stepping like on other people to like get to the top.
Yeah,
and just,
exactly.
They're just not. I don't know. Overall, I would say the men here are just not very nice.
Yeah.
No.
I don't think they're genuine. I think that's like the biggest thing for me. It's like I don't believe them. I don't trust them really. You know.
Yeah.
That's men on the East Coast are completely different.
I know, I love that.
Really?
I really, really, really like East Coast men, like Boston and New York and everything. Like, the men there are just wonderful.
So you think it's the city that gives people a certain mentality?
I think it's the upbringing and kind of, like, the environment that you're in. Because, like, here, you know, like, if you're a girl, if you're a pretty girl, there's, like, a million other pretty girls. But, like, I'm different, you know? Like, I'm not like everyone else, you know?
Right.
But, like, here, they don't really see that. They don't get a chance to because they're just, like, all about the superficial.
Yeah.
I had to leave Marblehead because I ran out of men. I ate them all. There were none left.
Wow.
Yeah, you don't know who you're dealing with here.
Oh,
well,
God.
You're like the wildest one in Boston or Massachusetts.
Yeah, I was pretty nuts when I was there.
Yeah.
When were you there?
I moved out here May 07, and I was there for 4 years before that.
That's cool. Why did you come to LA? Like,
well, I was actually spending the summer. I was supposed to spend the summer starting in May in Australia, and I had a layover in LA, and I was having the time of my life staying at the Beverly Hills Hotel, and I was like, LA freaking rocks.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm having the time of my life here, and so I got really drunk, and I didn't get on the plane to Australia, and I stayed here.
That's amazing.
Yeah, to make a long story short. And then I got engaged the next day.
Yeah, she's been engaged several times.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I've never been engaged.
I haven't bit the bullet yet.
No, you're still young. Don't worry about marriage right now. Jeez. So, well, I'm trying to figure out, though. So after you get out of school, right?
Yeah.
Are you going to put more emphasis on the music or on I mean, I'm trying to figure out, like, what the plans are.
I mean, I'm going to be working on, like, artistic development, kind of writing and getting with good people, good management, because that's really important for me, to have, like, a good team around me.
Right.
So in the next few months, I'm already starting to work on that, but I think it'll work in my favor.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's definitely really cool. Yeah. You guys want to take a little break?
Sure.
Susie, you ready?
Yeah.
Because I need to take a break, okay. A real break. Okay. And we'll be back right after this.
$5 that it won't last a week.
It's Sam and Susie in the morning on LA Talk Radio.
You didn't listen to this, did you?
No, what did it say?
It says, hey, Johnny, I bet you, let's bet it's only going to take a... No, what did he say?
Play it again.
Yeah, it'll only last a week. Remember that? In the beginning, we played that.
Oh, you and me? Decided,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Just to remind you.
Sam's so mad at leaving.
No, we lasted more than a week, which is important.
Who's going to fill the void?
I don't know.
Yeah, she's not helping and providing anybody. That's for sure.
You didn't ask for my help. I said, you know, I was like, I'd love to like interview new people with you and be part of the process. You know, I'll be, you know, listening from Australia and calling in and being like, yay or nay.
Yeah, right. But, that'll last exactly 2 days.
Oh, exactly. Just like you and I lasted a week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what they say, you know? I mean, you know, out of sight, out of mind.
Never.
No?
I'll never be out of sight.
No.
There's always Facebook. We'll be Facebook friends forever, yeah. Sam.
What about it, Monroe? How many friends do you have on Facebook now?
I think about 1,000.
1,000 friends. Wow. Susie, you don't even have that many.
I'm at like 600.
Really?
Yeah.
How do people get... I mean, obviously, you don't know most of these people, right?
Yeah.
See,
I know
thing.
Like about like 600. Or
it's sort of like a leftover from MySpace, where people were competing for how many friends they have. But on Facebook, you know, I don't know... It's like with me, I realized I have a few people I don't really know, you know, like friends of friends of friends or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just deleted them, you know. I'm like, mm-hmm. that doesn't represent who my friends are, you know.
I've got this guy from, not Siberia. Where is it from? I don't know. From some weird Lebanon. I think it's Lebanon. Mm. Is that where Beirut is?
Yes.
And he freaking, I don't know how he found me, but he like friended me. And all the time, I have to make myself like go offline so no one can even see me. Because he's constantly just like nagging me and bothering me. I'm like, where did you fucking find me from, dude?
Yeah.
You know? I'm like, go back to Beirut.
Yeah. But so he sends you messages.
Like
but
really
he can't.
Dirty messages.
Really?
Too. Yes.
I had a guy like that once.
Oh my gosh. It's ridiculous. It's like, what do they do? Like go through and look at people's pictures and like decide.
Probably.
You know?
I mean, you don't know who's out there, Monroe.
I know.
Right?
Well, I actually met a model in Italy and I like kissed him once in Campo di Fiori. And then he got my number from a friend and literally called me 20 times a day for the next, because he knew I was going to be there for 6 weeks.
Right.
So he called me 20 times a day for the next like 3 weeks that I was there. And then on Facebook, kept friending me, sending me messages, and I kept rejecting, being like, hello,
oh, no.
Like, get the picture.
Yeah.
Oh my God, yeah. Like back with MySpace, you know, it was a big competition. Everyone would see like how many friends you can get.
Right.
But I decided when I did Facebook, I was like, no, I'm not going to like, you know, just accept anyone's friend requests. And so now I like, always send a message back if I don't know them. I'm like, how do I know you? And they're like, oh, right. We listen to your radio show. And I'm like, okay. I guess I'll friend you then.
Yeah. Maybe that's why I'm getting a lot of people I don't know.
Just send a message back before you accept and be like, how do I know you? And if they're like, oh, from your radio station, and then you can be like, oh, all right, cool.
Yeah.
And you can also make like groups for people. Like you can have like a fans group. I have one of those just of people who like heard me on the radio or something. And like you can kind of limit what they see.
Right.
Which is kind of good if like you don't want like, you know, your pictures being seen or your wall being, because I don't really like my wall being seen by a lot of people, even though I'm sure a lot of people can see it. But whatever.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Maybe I'll go through and sort and.
Yeah. It's such an amazing thing, this Facebook, I'm telling you. It's like in the past year, everybody's on it. You know, everybody's
my mom, on it. My family, everyone.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom's on it too, and it's kind of like the freaking bane of my existence because I put this picture up and I'm not topless. I'm wearing a jacket and like it's just barely covering my nipples. But so my mom saw that and like she sent me like this email just being like, oh my God, I can't believe that. I'm so disappointed in you. But, like, take it off. And I'm like, no, I think I look hot. Like, I don't care if anyone sees that. Who hasn't seen my boobs? I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah. Have you ever been stalked, Monroe, by anybody?
Not that I know of.
Well, that's good, because Susie has.
Really?
Or still is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's scary, dude.
I know.
Yeah, you really have to be careful, you know?
I was almost abducted, actually, when I was in 7th grade. Did I ever tell you that?
No.
So we had this big farmhouse in upstate New York in Wappingers Falls that we lived in, and it was, like, from the 1700s, but so I had these huge, like, 6-foot windows in my bedroom all along, like, the front of the house. And so I would always, like, be, like, dancing around my room naked and this and that. And then we had like, these huge trees. I'm just kind of crazy
I
like that,
too.
Susie does do that, yeah.
But then there were these huge trees, and then there was a road, and then there was this apartment complex across the street. And so little did I know that this guy, he was a black man, his name was Norman. He had been watching me, like, with a telescope forever.
Wow.
So one day I'm going, and I'm waiting for my bus, and I'm wearing my cheerleading uniform, okay? And so I'm sitting there, like, standing on the corner with my pom-poms in hand. And he pulls across the street, and he's like, hey, what's your name? And my parents, you know, they were both at work. I was like home alone, like on the side of the street. And I'm like, Mary. Mary's my name. And he pulls across, and he unrolls his window, and he's like, get in the car. And I was like, what? I was like, no, I'm waiting for the bus. And he's like, come on. He's like, I'm going to take you to breakfast. He's like, it'll be fun. I'm like, I have to go to school. No, I'll drop you off at school afterwards. You know, why don't you get in the car? And he started being like more firm about it. And I was like, no, I'm waiting for the bus. No, I'll take you to school. Come on. At which point the bus comes, and I freak out, and I go and I get in the bus, and I'm like, you know, paralyzed with fear.
Yeah.
And so I get to homeroom, and my teacher's like, Susie, are you okay? And I was like, some man tried to get me into his car this morning. She freaks out, calls the vice principal, who then calls the principal, who calls the police, who calls my parents. And so the next day they decide they're going to set up like a little sting operation. Mm-hmm. My mom and another policeman were waiting up the street in an unmarked car, and they were looking for this guy's vehicle because I had described it. He pulls up across the street.
And you were like the bait?
Yes.
You were standing there.
I find this to be very wrong now. It really is.
You got to catch him.
I know. Well, they did catch him. But so then he pulls up across the street in another car, a completely different one. And he yells, he's like, what's your phone number? And so now the bus driver was alerted to like look for this guy. And I get on the bus. I was like, that's the guy. I get the license number. He said his name was Norman. So she writes down what she thinks is the license number. But my mom and the cop up the street, you know, they didn't see the right car. So anyway, they run the plates. It doesn't check out with Norman or whatever. And so the police are like telling my mom, you know, she's lying. You know, she's obviously doing this to get attention. We have a lot of kids that like make stuff like this up. Blah, 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 blah. My mom's like, you don't understand. This kid's on national TV commercials every day. She gets more attention than like she wants. Trust me, she's not making it up.
Yeah.
But so then the bus driver remembered that she had switched a digit on the license plate. It checked out. They found his apartment, and they actually found him going to the airport with two plane tickets. One of them was unused, and he had a record for molesting children in California.
Wow.
Gross.
So the neighbors, like, it was all over the newspapers and everything, and the neighbors just, like, made his life a living hell, just staring him down until he finally moved out of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
That is so creepy.
Yeah. I know.
No, you see, you're going to have to deal with that if you become famous, you know, with your music and everything.
Yeah, I've already had kind of some security scares.
Really?
I mean, my car was keyed, like, 2 days ago.
And no way.
Yeah, and it was, like, on campus, broad daylight, like, kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
Do you think it was someone you know?
Oh, I'm almost positive.
Yeah. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Do you have a lot of frenemies?
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. Oh my God.
You probably get picked up on a lot, right? I mean,
picked up on?
No. Okay. Hit on.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Susie, what happened to me? I'm like a brain fart.
I know. You speak English.
Yeah. So, wow. I mean, that's, you know, I don't know what I would do. You know, I mean, it seems like you're so vulnerable being out there, you know, woman and everything, and all these, like, wolves, you know, trying to just get a piece of you, you know?
Yeah.
It's really scary.
Yeah, it definitely is.
It can be scary. But you just got to surround yourself with good friends and good people that are honest and, you know.
That's true. That's true.
Hopefully the world will take care of us.
Yeah. So you go back to visit your family sometimes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going for spring break, going to Boca to see my stepmom. So that'll be fun.
Nice.
You've got the life, let me tell you. Right? Do you sometimes wonder what it'd be like to be poor?
Yeah.
Not a good thought.
Well, I mean, this economy is pretty scary. It's not just affecting, you know, people that are poverty stricken, but it's also people that have money. You know, it's pretty bad. So
it is. You know what? Finally, it clicked for me yesterday. I went to the mall with my son.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First of all the places that usually are crowded, like the places where you eat at the food court, you know, stores and stuff, you know, Apple, for example, always busy. It was dead.
Mm-hmm.
The place was dead. And the people that were there, you could tell just walking around, nobody's shopping. So all these shops, you know, 70% off, blah, blah, blah. You know, all these people standing there doing nothing, sitting around all day doing nothing because nobody's walking in the stores.
Yeah.
Now, this is serious, Susie. You know, I mean, this is definitely serious.
I mean, even my pocket's tight. You know, I think everyone's feeling the pinch, you know.
No, you really do, you know, because you start, everybody's like in fear now, you know, and it's like, what's going to happen? You know, I better hold on to my money. Well, you don't have money anyway, so you don't care. You get nothing to hold on to.
Nothing affects me. I just don't care.
She's going to Australia. She's getting away from
it. I can't believe you're doing that.
Yeah.
I know. Well, I did something even crazier last weekend. I went to Peru for the weekend.
Out of the blue.
Out of the blue, yeah.
By yourself?
I went by myself, but my sister was there. So we went and hiked Machu Picchu.
Well, that's fun.
I know. It was amazing.
Sometimes that's necessary.
It totally was.
See, it's not that crazy, you know, but I mean, what you're doing now is crazy.
Really?
It's crazy. Would you move for a guy? I mean,
I'm not moving for the guy. I'm moving for myself.
Okay.
He might not even have his visa in 2 months. He might get, like, deported.
Why does everybody believe that you're going for the guy?
Because I say I'm moving for the guy, but I'm not really
moving
for the guy.
But you're moving in with
him. No, now you're saying that you're not.
You need your own place, at least, so you can, like, get some distance.
I am going to get my own place.
Like,
but
what if it doesn't work out?
But initially, when I first get there, I want to be able to look at the apartments and things like that. You know what I mean? So don't know. I think it'll make more sense if I'm staying with him initially just for like a couple weeks, and then I can go and actually, you know, see if I like the place or not.
You couldn't stay in a dorm, could you? And like share
Hell
a room?
Hell no. I'm
share
26 room. Years old.
Yeah. I mean,
you
share a room with one or two
like
chicks.
Dorms are like no good.
No,
yeah,
no.
Definitely not.
No. That's for like freshman and sophomore year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally no dorm for me.
Yeah.
I'm almost 30, for God's sake.
Yeah. Did you live in a dorm?
Yeah, I did. I like really wanted to just because I knew I'd never have that experience again. So I was there freshman and sophomore year.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Was it an all-girls dorm?
No.
Yeah, when I was at UC Boulder, it was like a co-ed dorm. I couldn't believe that. I ended up being, my boyfriend lived like literally the door across the way from me.
Uh-huh.
I could not believe that. It was so weird.
I think like, they had same-sex floors, though.
Really?
Yeah.
We didn't even have same-sex floors. It was ridiculous.
That's cool, though.
I know.
Really?
But looking back on it, I'm like, I don't want my kid to go to a school where they have same-sex dorms.
Yeah, but they have to live their own lives.
True, true.
Yeah. Well, you went through it. Was it that bad?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't that bad, but I definitely did my fair share of whoring around there.
Yeah. But when you were in boarding school, though.
Well, that was all girls.
Yeah.
Where did you go to boarding school?
Emma Willard in upstate New York.
I went to Dana Hall School.
No way!
I got kicked out.
Oh, my
Why?
God.
It's a really long story, but I'll tell
Miss
it.
Hall's? Or Miss Hall, is it Dana Hall?
Dana Hall.
Dana Hall.
Miss Hall's my stepsister. My stepsister went there.
Oh, my
And
God.
My other sister went to Miss Porter's.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, so they wouldn't let me go to a co-ed school. My mom wouldn't.
So why'd you get kicked out?
So there was this girl, and she was really annoying, and she would, like, boast a lot about money, and it just really, really disgusted me. So I kind of picked on her a little bit.
Uh-oh.
So in our Spanish class, she was passing around, we were all passing around our projects before we were handing them in, and I changed Ellen Vierno to Ellen Vierna, like the O to an A, so that she would get it wrong, and, you know, it was catty of me, it was really bitchy, but...
Whatever.
Yeah, I was young, and I was just being stupid, and she called me out on it. She's like, what are you doing? And I was like, I couldn't talk myself out of it. And she was like, I'm getting you expelled, and then got a lawsuit against my family for academic sabotage. So my dad was like, I'll get you a new library. And they were like, this isn't a financial matter. Like, we don't want your daughter at this school.
What?
So I had to go to public school. My first week at public school, it was my birthday. And this girl started following me around and harassing me because the guy that she wanted to go to prom with asked me out instead. And then so in the cafeteria that week, first week there, she comes up to me. She says, you're a fucking whore or whatever. And I was like,
with
oh
the
God.
Boston accent.
Yeah. And I was like, so are you? Because I private school my whole life, scared shitless.
Yeah.
Like, I was so terrified. Came around behind me, dumped chocolate milk all over
no.
my head.
Really?
Yeah, it was like out of Disney Channel movie.
That's like Lizzie McGuire style.
I know. So very tumultuous freshman year.
Wow.
Aww. Wait, you got kicked out your freshman year?
Yeah.
Oh my God. And no other
Even
school
Susie
would accept
lasted
you?
Longer.
No, but the only way I could not have it on my transcript was to go to a public school. So it's not even on my transcript. Oxy knows nothing about it.
Academic sabotage. You've got to be kidding me.
And I like told all my friends, I was like, make sure she lives, like she has a living hell. And they all like drove her out of the school.
And your Whoa. Dad offered to build a library for them? That wasn't
well,
good
I mean,
enough?
He was just trying to like, you know, get me back. Because it was really stupid why I was kicked out. I mean, like,
yeah.
That's really ridiculous.
Yeah, it was so stupid. But the school was trying to make an example out of me.
Yeah,
you
it
know,
was the principal
so.
There, yeah.
Yeah. Ay, ay, ay.
Oh, that's shit.
Craziness.
Yeah.
I loved boarding school. I had like the best time of my life there.
Yeah, I had a blast, but you know, ended short.
Oh man.
Yeah. Do you have any famous friends and stuff? I mean, people we might know?
I mean, yeah. I mean, yeah. Oprah's like my godmother.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. So.
When did you meet her? A long time ago?
I mean, yeah, when I was like, a little baby.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's
she's
amazing.
Incredible, though. I was saying this on Max's show, like, she's like one of the most incredible women ever to live on the earth. Like,
yeah. Well, it's no wonder so many people like her and stuff, you know?
She's instrumental in so many people's lives.
Yeah. When was the last time you saw her?
I saw her at my dad's funeral last year, actually.
Oh, I see. Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in the same room with Oprah.
Aww.
Susie, you see? Even you are not that famous.
I love her school in Africa.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't really know too much about it, to be honest.
Yeah. I just think that's amazing what she's
she
doing
opened
over there.
A girls' school there in South Africa for people that can't afford school mm-hmm. and stuff like that. It's a really cool school. But then there was like a whole scandal about it. I don't know, that they were given preferential treatment to some people and... and that sort of thing. You know,
there's always going to be some kind of like bullshit that people are, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And I know for a fact that she was like really torn up about that because, you know, she put all this effort into doing something positive.
Right.
And of course, that small, that one person that has to, you know, put their smear on it kind of has the ability to ruin it, you know, and that's just like, I don't think that's fair. I think she did a great job, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, every time you do a charity like this and help out people, yes, it's a nice thing, you know, but like you said, there's always going to be somebody criticizing you, finding something bad to say.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's like the hate mail that you and I get sometimes from like the
Christian. You guys get
like,
hate mail?
We like don't the, get hate mail.
The Christian right-wing people that are like, you're horrible people and you're going to hell.
Whatever.
We never got one like that,
Susan. Yes, I got one like that.
Did you?
Yes. I think I have it saved somewhere. I thought it was the funniest thing I've ever
seen. I got hate mail and I keep it.
Oh, absolutely.
You never told me about
that
one.
I did too. I thought we talked about it on the air.
Really?
Yes.
What did it say?
I swear to God, I gave it to you. It said that I was a. It was from some like Christian person. It was like, I'm a horrible person and I'm going to hell.
That's all it said?
I don't think so. You
I swear to God. No, I'm not.
No?
Yeah. But for the most part, we get a lot of good mail. But what were you going to say? You got hate mail too?
Yeah, in high school, I wrote this fashion article, and I kind of just didn't care. I was just, you know, bashing people for wearing hippie clothes. And so this girl, like, cut out my article and then wrote this, like, really, like, horrible grammar. Just, like, this thing being, like, you're stupid, blah, blah, and posted it on my locker.
Aww.
And so I left it there all year. I loved it.
You frame it. You've got it in your scrapbook.
Well, the fact that she took the time out of her day, and it really, like, bothered her that much that she had to do that, you know, I had to...
Did you ever find out who it was?
Oh yeah, I knew who it was. She like wanted to beat me up, and I was like, "Honey, I don't physically fight people."
I know. I've had so many people like back I don't know, back in like eighth grade. I went to public school for 2 years of my life, just to kind of see what it was like. But I had so many girls that hated me. I mean, yeah, I fooled around with all their boyfriends, but.
Gee.
But
why
I mean,
do they
seriously.
Hate me? Don't hate me because I'm beautiful and I steal your boyfriend.
Minor detail, whatever. So bad.
Yeah.
But it turns out, like, once you stand up to someone that hates you, I mean, then they back off and they're
they shrivel
all right.
up, yeah.
They're like, all right, this girl's got balls and she's not going to let me, like, pick on her all the time anymore. But,
Yeah, girls can be mean, huh?
Did I ever tell you like the worst, most embarrassing thing that happened to me? It was at a sweet 16 birthday party, and this girl, I had taken her up to like my ski house, you know, and we were actually really good friends for a while, and then all of a sudden she decided she didn't like me, but whatever. So we're at the sweet 16 party, and I'm dancing, slow dancing with this boy, and I think I'm all being cute and whatever, and all of a sudden she comes up to me and starts patting me on the back. And she was like, Susie, I just wanted to say I'm really sorry for being a bitch. Like, you know, I don't know. We were really good friends before. And, you know, I had so much fun, like, skiing with you. Like, you know, let's be friends. As she's patting me on the back. And I'm like, all right, yeah, no worries. I'm like, water under the bridge. We can be friends now. My best friend comes up 2 seconds later, rips something off my back. The fucking bitch stuck her bloody maxi pad on my back.
Whoa.
It was like patting me, just being like, can we still be friends? Da da da. While she's fucking sticking her bloody maxi pad.
That's the nastiest thing I've ever heard in my
so
life.
So I have never like had hate in my life. Well, as soon as my friend tells me this, I'm like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. I had blood like coursing through my veins that was like, kill this bitch. So I like go march, and I was a scrawny little cheerleader at the time, you know? So I like go marching up to her and I'm like, excuse me. And I shove her like her friends out of the way. And this girl was a black belt in karate. Like she was hardcore. But I didn't know what else to do, so I just bitch slapper. I'm like, whatcha? And I slap her as hard as I can. Like, my hand was stinging, and I turned around and I started walking away. She jumps up. She gets in my back. The black belt in karate starts pulling my hair, biting me, and rips my dress off. So now I'm, like, topless at this
Holy
thing.
Shit.
And luckily, my best friend was, like, bigger and, like, stronger and, like, protected me. And then she grabbed the girl, like, started punching her face. And I'm like, I'm getting out of here. I'm like, this is way too much for me.
Wow.
But a fucking maxi pad on my back? I mean, really?
That's low.
Yeah,
that's really low.
Ugh.
Oh my God! Yeah, that's so nasty.
Yeah. Monroe, what are some of the things you like to do for fun?
I'm actually an artist, so I love to paint and.
Oh really?
Yeah.
So wow.
I've been working on like kind of, you know, Mark Rothko. He's kind of.
I don't know what that is.
Well, it's kind of
is
color
that a certain
field.
Style?
Yeah, I mean it's like color field, transcendental. You kind of look at it and you're supposed to get a feeling from it, but it's just kind of like colors stained on top of other colors. But I mean, I did like. Sort of like more fluorescence as like a base, and I did oil on top of it. So I mean, they came out. They're a lot more modern looking, a lot girlier, but I like them.
Can you see me being a painter, Susie?
No.
I mean, it sounds interesting. You know, I used to like it when I was very young.
You should at least try it. I always encourage people to try it because, you know, I hate when people are like, oh, I'm not a good artist, like, blah, blah. And it's like, you don't give yourself enough credit. Like, art is subjective. Like,
yeah,
just really. Try it.
Not all of it has to be photorealistic, right?
Exactly. No, yeah. And realism is kind of overrated.
Yeah.
I agree. I took an advanced art studio class because it was the only thing that would fit in my schedule at boarding school. And I did what I consider, like, my masterpiece. It was like this huge canvas, and it was a still life of these plants, but I made it really abstract. And I gave it to my mom for like her birthday, and then she didn't freaking frame it or hang it up. So the next year, I found it buried in the closet, and I framed it, and I regave it to her again. And I was like, now you have no choice but to hang it up in the house. My grandmother comes over, and she's like, oh, Susie, oh, that's awful. What, were you eating those magic mushrooms when you painted that? And I'm like, oh my, I'm like, Jesus, Grammy. No, I wasn't. I was like, and now I don't do art anymore. Because everyone made fun of my masterpiece.
Well, that's not very nice.
I know.
Do you do any sports and stuff like that? Do you like biking like Susie does?
I mean, I used to horseback ride a lot. I haven't been able to do that much of it in L.A. because it's such a pain in the ass to go, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I mean, you have
to go far to find
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's just like kind of out of the way. And I'm like, you know, it's kind of like focused on school right now. So it's kind of,
yeah.
You know.
But you know, if you go like to Chatsworth and stuff, they've got great trails.
I mean, they have L.A. Yeah. Equestrian Center. I rode there for a little bit. But I definitely want to start doing it again.
Yeah. You know what? That's a great idea. I used to love riding horses when I was a kid, and I totally don't even think about it. But now that you brought it up, I'm thinking, what an amazing thing to do again.
Take your son horseback riding instead of sitting on the couch watching Howard Stern.
There you go. You see? But now he focuses on driving. That's all he wants to do is drive. He's got his permit now. So that's all he wants to do is drive me
around.
Well,
he can drive a horse.
It gives you really good spatial skills. Like, absolutely.
Yeah.
If he can ride a horse, he can drive a car.
Yeah, I suppose.
Interesting. I got kicked out of horseback riding camp because they were showing us like the parts of the saddle, and like I had just learned like the shortest distance between two points in math class. And so they're like, "All right, everyone, now walk over to this side." And so I just walk right underneath the horse, and they're like, "You are just a danger." They're like, "Get far, far away from here."
Yeah, it's not safe, actually.
Yeah, it was really bad. Kind of stupid on my part, but whatever.
Well, we have Monroe King in the studio. Do you have any websites you want to promote? Anything where people can go listen to your song?
Yeah, I mean, I have my website. It's monroeking.com. Mm-hmm. So go check it out. And I also have a MySpace. It's myspace.com/Monroe King Music. So go check out Fashionista.
Awesome.
And friend me.
Don't friend her on Facebook, though.
Yeah, she doesn't want you. Don't
no
read,
stalkers.
Don't read her walls there. Awesome. Monroe, thanks so much for coming in.
I know. I had a blast. You guys are awesome.
Yeah, you are too. You are too. And all the best to you, really, with the music and your school and all that. You know, you're a fun girl. You deserve it.
Thanks so
you
much.
Know. Sure. Pleasure. And Susie, what's going on with you now?
Show and tell at a preschool with the lizard.
Show. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yes.
That'll
yes.
be cool, right?
I know. I'm really excited. I breed bearded dragons.
What?
They're lizards.
Oh, cool.
Bearded dragons.
Yes. That's not code for something dirty. It sounds dirty. Everyone's like, really? You've got a bearded dragon? Row.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you pervert. Get your mind out of the gutter.
And she's got a tattoo of a frog.
Yes.
On top of everything.
Where?
On my back.
A frog is not like what I would call the most beautiful animal or living thing in the world.
I think it is. It's really? Gorgeous.
They breathe through their skin.
Yep. They're amazing. Yeah.
Do you have any tattoos?
I don't. I don't plan on either.
Good. Good. You see, she comes from a good family. Now you, I don't know about.
My family couldn't stop me if they tried. Oh, goodness.
All right, everyone. So tomorrow's the last show. No? Or are you okay, tell me what's going on. Are you going to be here next week?
I will be here in the beginning of next week.
Beginning of next week.
Yes.
Okay, so everybody's lucky we get a few more days with Susie.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right. And Monroe, when you go to Australia, you'll have somewhere to go.
Exactly.
There I'll you take go. You scuba diving.
Nice. All right, everyone. If he has a friend, let me know.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
All right, everyone. We're going to be back right here tomorrow.
Been listening to Sam and Susie in the Morning, which airs every weekday at 9 a.m. Pacific. To contact the show, please email your question or comment to sam@latalkradio.com or susie@latalkradio.com. A complete list of all past shows can be found on our archives page and on iTunes. For sponsorship or advertising information, email us at info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Susie in the Morning is a presentation of LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com. LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.